Hello and welcome. This is another edition of All Systems Go, the amazing podcast which basically combines the opinions of four people you've never met into this one, you know, awesome show about games, gaming, or whatever you want to talk about it. You know, we basically cover all systems. This is why it's called All Systems Go. My name is Tim. You might better know me as Graduated Gamer on Twitter. You know, I just want to say it's good to be back. It's been a long time. I haven't really been talking with this group of fine people here with me today for quite some time in this capacity. How about I give a shout out here to my man across from me, Joel. Say hi to the people.
What up, homies? It's been too long. It has. We got to shake off the cobwebs, get some gaming action, get back in the game. We're just gaming it up.
There you go. See, that's how we speak, is the language of game, which is essentially just saying the word game over and
game,
over
again. Game and watch? No, just game and game.
There you go. Game and
that's
game.
It.
I love it. Well, it's good to be back, Joel. Good to
that
have you back.
That didn't make any sense. Anyway.
Also with us, as always, are the lovely ladies, Rena and Lessa. Go ahead and say hi, ladies.
Hey, hey. Yeah, it has been forever, and I loved your kind of honey take there, Joel, when you said brush off the cobweb, seeing as Halloween has just passed.
Oh,
so that
yes.
was funny.
Well, not for me, because I like to celebrate Halloween until it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So
it's good. It's good. You know, you always
but what about Thanksgiving?
Fuck Thanksgiving.
Hey,
you just get started right away. Drop an F bomb.
There you go, right?
So we have not had enough swearing.
This
on
is
the
not
show.
A family friendly show. So no, actually, Joel, you know, fuck Thanksgiving. You must work for, you know, all the stores and everything that basically just bypass Thanksgiving.
Right, and I worked
year.
Radio Shack Black Friday, and let
oh,
me tell
you. Oh, there you go. Okay. So
never
you're the guy
again.
Elbowed in the face for that digital
yes.
camera. Sorry,
yes.
buddy.
Okay, so I forget Thanksgiving, Black Friday. What happens to Black Friday? It's like a little holiday in itself on its own little day.
In America, yes. Only in America, it seems. So we're
proud,
you know,
to be an American for Black Friday.
Overindulgence for the win.
Yeah.
So. Nice. Well, obviously, good to have you back, Reen. And, of course, you have Lessa over there. How's it going?
Good, good. You do not know how much I've missed this podcast this whole month, I guess it would be.
It's
not,
been a while,
not
yeah.
Even, yeah, I'm not even doing a podcast. And so, right now, I'm missing this, so I'm going to enjoy that.
I know.
But, hey, listeners, Lessa Wake here, although you can find me under the handle of at a talented friend on Twitter. And you know the saying, the more the merrier. So followers are always welcome.
Give her some follows, people. She's awesome. So is Reen. So is Joel. They're all awesome. That's why I love meeting with them on this podcast as much as we can. And I definitely, you know, I echo that sentiment. Lessa, I've missed you guys immensely, and I'm so happy we're doing this again. So,
yes.
You know, before
cheers to our imaginary beers.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a little water because
imaginary.
I'm hungover, so I'm not. I'm not drinking anything.
I'm drunk so. Right now.
So seven. Please, no R words this time. No drinking.
No, okay, see, I have a couple R words to drop.
All right, well, we'll have to take some shots later for that. So, in case listeners are listening for the first time, the R word is Resident Evil. All right, so.
The secret word.
Secret word. It's like Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah.
All right, so. I've aged myself. All right, so as always, let's go ahead and get started. People with what's in your system. It's been a long time, so I've had a lot of stuff kind of come and go from my systems, but I'm kind of curious first to know what's been in your system. I'm going to go and start with Reen and Lessa, because you guys always have some really interesting games flowing around.
Yeah, I just actually recently bought a PlayStation 4.
That's awesome news.
Nice.
Congratulations.
It was awesome until I looked at my wallet afterwards, and I was like, dear God, I just spent like $500.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I did it just because The Evil Within was coming out October 14th, so day one, right after classes, drove over to GameStop, walked in, got a lovely edition, bought a season pass, came home, and then played it.
Nice.
But then, of course, that was, like, over the course of, like, 4 weeks since classes were up, and we couldn't stay up gaming for, like, too long because of...
Yeah, early. I think the longest... the earliest I'd stay up is until about 2 in the morning. But then, like, if we have morning classes, so it was always kind of stressful. Like, I start at 8 o'clock and I game until 2, and I'm like, I have to wake up at 6.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it was nice. I guess I beat it on Halloween, which was really nice, like a little celebration thing. So that was what it was in my system, and I feel so bad because my PlayStation 3 is being neglected. I have like I can make like a dust line on my PlayStation 3. I haven't picked it up or played anything on it, but yeah, I'm really enjoying, or I enjoy The Evil Within. It was a great game. The I like to say, quote unquote, the horror never stopped coming, because like you think you're safe, and then bam, shit happens. And the atmosphere was great, and I know I watched a couple videos before it was coming out that one of the sound designers, I guess, for The Evil Within used, like, he ate cantaloupe for, like, the squishy sounds of, like, all the blood. So every time a body popped up, Lessa and I were like, cantaloupe! Which was funny, and, like, it was overall a good game. There's a lot of references to Resident Evil and Resident Evil 4, since Mikami Shinji, who was the creator, I guess he directed Resident Evil 4, or like stood back on it or something like that, and then he was the original creator for the first Resident Evil, so there were many classical references, like in the beginning level.
Redacted name.
You find Redacted in a little village, and then Redacted happens and stuff like that, but it's kind of a tribute to the classical Resident Evil, like when the zombie looks over his shoulder after you find him munching in a hall. It was really nice, and there's a lot of Resident Evil 4, like,
And then there's also the Wesker and Jill and Chris kind of character relationship between Kidman, Joseph, and Sebastian.
Stop it! Don't open that door!
And then there was also a Dr. Salvador / Nemesis hybrid, and then you have, like, El Gigante's brother twice removed and brothered, and then a mini Del Lago, and don't shoot the water, guys, and... Yeah,
a lot of great references that Les and I were calling out, like, this is like Resident Evil 4, oh crap, what's going to happen, oh shit, run!
Oh, and also, like Shadows of the Damned 2 with Sebastian's melee attacks, how it looks like, God, what was his name?
Garcia fucking Hotspur?
Yes, him, and then so his melee attack, and then, because I think Mikami also worked on Shadows of the Damned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the save room, kind of like Christopher's ghetto, where you feed him crystals, and he'd be like, half betrayals! With the save room, so yeah, it was, I mean, I'll say it now, there was a couple moments when Reen was playing it, and I was, like, peeping like a chicken, because she would get in these predicaments, and I'd be like, run, Reen, run! She's like, don't backstage jump me! I'm like, but you're gonna die! And she's like, I died! I'm like, what did I tell you? She's like, shut up and go sit over there, go make tea or something! I'm like, okay!
Yeah, like, the only thing that kind of irked me was some of the enemies were very frustrating. Like, I played probably 17 hours when I beat it, and I died, like, about 67 times. Mm-hmm. Just because some of the enemies have instant death attacks, which just effing sucks, because, Sebastian has a stamina bar, so you can't run as long, and then if it runs out, he'll stop and pant, like this really sexy pant, by the way.
Okay, gotcha.
I love his awesome vest. Like a really sexy vest. I love men dressed well. They are so sexy. Especially Sebastian.
Well,
did I tell you Joel's wearing a tie today? Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Oh my god, Joel, let me tell you.
It's a professional broadcast.
Time to post a selfie.
Yeah. Oh, you should post a selfie.
Mad men over here.
But like, yeah, just some of the enemies, because then when Sebastian can't turn around fast enough, and then the loading screens,
You're making excuses for your slowness.
Okay, I'll admit it, I got very frightened at one part because there was this woman with long black hair, and she screamed at one part, and I stopped, and I was like, what the hell was that? But it was a really good game, so that one was in my system, and then on Les's system, I know we tried Resistance Fall of Man, because she originally beat Resistance 2 on hers, so we
were... I don't want to talk about Resistance Fall of Man, leave it alone.
Yeah, okay, well, let's just say it had co-op, or multiplayer, as an option, so Les and I were like, good old multiplayer, let's try it, and then we started, and then they had, instead of like a horizontal or landscape split screen, right. It was portrait split screen, so like the TV became a box on each side.
You're blaming on technicalities, your skills are what killed us both, okay, and then it made us so frustrated, we're like, forget this game, fuck this game, and then which one did I play? Devil May Cry, DMC. So, yeah, that was the one that was in my system recently after Resistance Fall of Man. But, when was it? Yesterday? Oh my god, yesterday seems
so far away. Oh my god, it was yesterday.
Yeah, so I put in DMC in my system yesterday, and I know that there were some bad or at least disappointed reviews about it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, believe me, I also had the same complaints about Dante's character design, too. It's like his black hair or dark brown instead of his sexy white hair. But, I mean, that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying the game. If anything, I think that it is freaking hilarious. I mean, they still keep Dante's cockiness besides, like, some background story we have yet to divulge into because I think we're only on chapter 5 and there's, like,
4
chapters. I don't know, but, I mean, it was actually pretty funny, and so I think there's this one part where Rena and I just laughed about 5 minutes straight during the beginning of the game. And it was good, so.
And, like, your other game, what was it, The Walking Dead?
Well, that was, like, a while ago.
Yeah, because I think you guys were even playing that during our last podcast as well, weren't you?
No,
I think that was part of it.
She just recently bought the, I guess, season 1 for The Walking Dead, like, the Telltale game.
Yeah.
So that was, like, the first, like, I think I posted a picture on Twitter a while back, but that was the first time that I actually bought one of the Walking Dead games besides Survival Instinct, but I mean, like, the Telltale games, which I'm surprised because, like, why it took me so long to find my way yonder and play it. I mean, like, it was on my wish list for a while, so when I saw that GameStop in the used spot, I was like, score! Yes, half price! And then at first, like, I won't lie, when I played it, it wasn't exactly what I expected it to be. I mean, just because all of the reviews I read, I guess, and I kind of got my hopes up about the gameplay and that my excessive wishing and hoping that someone would make the Walking Dead game with The Last of Us graphics and game mechanics and whatnot, but the predetermined camera angles, I think, are what killed me the most, and maybe the slowness and not the option for a run button, and to skip cutscenes, I think that option was not also there, too, so... So some parts, like, I would make decisions, and then I'd be like, wait, that wasn't a decision I wanted to make, let me try again. And then when I would restart, and then they'd be like, oh, well, back to that cutscene, and I'm like, no!
Oh, God, that's obnoxious.
I think the strongest point to that game was character interaction.
Yes, it went so deep that by the end of it, Arena and I were mostly, like, in tears.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that kind of the strength of the Telltale, like, games, so, like, that's what made them really popular, with especially The Walking Dead, and they did, you know, A Wolf Among Us and things like that. Now that's why everyone's getting hyped about the Game of Thrones game they come out with, because they get into a lot of, like, the depth of character, and you actually start to feel for them more than your typical game. So that doesn't surprise me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, like, I know that the Telltale games were based on the character interaction, and I was already aware of that, but just, like...
Like, how shit happened at the end of the game?
No, I mean, cause when I first put the game in, there's this one part where I get to this one part, and then it makes me pick between two people, and so me, coming from, like, playing puzzle games, I was like, okay, well, let me think about this. If I save this one person who is sitting on something that is restraining this other person, then maybe if I move that person first, that means I can move whatever's on the other person off, so I can save them both. But then one still, whatever way I chose, ended up dying. So I was like, screw you, game. It doesn't matter what ending I get, I will still get all these trophies, so I am just continuing.
Nice. So I think what I've learned from what's in your systems, I've learned, I think, two big things, maybe three. I've learned The Evil Within, a lot of things there for Resident Evil fans, so there's the R word for you. also, I've learned that... you know, you and Lessa probably cannot play together right now, so you're both in timeout because you guys have been yelling at each other a lot lately about, you suck, you're too slow, you can't do this. It's like, you guys are supposed to be good friends. You're just like, that's great, you always have, like, a player two hanging around, and you guys are just, like, yelling at each other all the time, so I've learned a lot.
We're good, right? Airfus. Found it, bam.
There you go. They make up quickly.
Yes, we do.
Nice.
But, yeah, we're good.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it sounds like a lot of gaming has been going on since our last podcast. So, Joel, what about you? I know, obviously, you're probably still speedrunning Super Mario 64, but I gotta believe
you're
playing something else, yeah?
I played a horror game called Outlast past Friday.
Oh, there they go.
Yeah.
You said
Oh, you guys have played this game?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Do they play this game? I'm going to go sit in a corner. I'll be right back. Right.
No, I did not beat it at all. I played it for like a total of maybe 30 minutes and watched a couple other people play it for a little longer than that. And it's pretty intense. It's basically, I mean, it's kind of a ripoff of Amnesia. You run around, have a weapon.
Probably
you have
either.
To just hide. Yeah, it's like the same mechanics. Like you can't attack the monsters. You have to always hide if they're nearby, or run.
And I just Just hold on to that camera. You either run or you die.
Right. The camera mechanic's good. Yeah, you need, like, the battery to see. And, yeah, it's intense. It scared the crap out of me.
You have to change your pants a couple of times.
Yes.
It. Yeah, it's kind of imagine.
It's embarrassing.
The over and under was 2.5 times.
Yes. On so. Bring some extra slacks there if you're going to play Outlast.
So you liked it, though.
It was fun, yeah. I want to play it some more. We talked about playing it again soon. Nice. And there's some interesting act involving the rear end of the carcass.
Oh.
And another man. And oh. I won't go into more detail than that.
Okay.
But, okay, what part did you get to? Because all like I think Lessa and I
got they're like, that was never in there.
Wait, what were you playing?
Oh,
yeah, what were you playing? If I didn't have homework tonight, I would whip that game onto the computer right now and find that part just to satisfy my curiosity. But,
okay, so what is the other... So what does the live guy look like?
The what? Sorry?
The live... live person.
He was saying it involves a guy in the rear end of something.
He does like something to the rear end of a body.
Yeah.
With no head.
Yeah. So all I want to know, was he a priest?
Wow. That's good. Well played.
Where's the... We need a rim
and
shot sound effect on
there
that.
There it is. I might want to insert like a rim shot going on in there when she busts out that... how long have you been sitting on that punchline, Reen?
Reen, may God have mercy on your soul, okay?
No, because I swear the one guy in the Outlast...
There actually is a priest.
Oh, there is a priest.
There is a priest in the game. So, oh,
that
no,
just
is
happened
the priest
to be a hilarious question.
We're going to get a bunch of hate mail now.
For the one Catholic listening, we're sorry.
That'd be me.
Also happens to be in the
I'm
show,
not really
so,
that offended, yeah. But whatever. So,
I gotta stop.
Reen, you forgot about the little pig. Why couldn't he be doing it?
He's not a priest.
True, there you go.
Why are you set on a...
Because intelligent. Whatever.
So there's a priest, a rabbi, and a prostitute playing Outlast in a boat. I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere.
I'm choking on laughter. Can we switch the subject?
I don't know, but my ass sure hurts. Is the punchline.
Rectum. Barely knew him. I don't know. I know. It's like this whole podcast has just gone completely down the shitter. It's like we started off pretty well. You know, Joel mentions Outlast and some horrifying things with a butt, and now we're just... We're done. This is it. It's now a nice...
Our listeners are really
podcast.
Taking it up the ass, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. So, Joel.
Joel, I actually have a serious question.
No, I just think we're all a bit rusty. We need to calm down.
I know, right?
Did you wake up in a jail cell? Hold on. I got to collect myself. Did you wake up in a jail cell after, like, the jail cell part? Is that where you find the man with the carcass?
It was around there, yeah. There was a jail cell involved.
Great.
Probably soap was dropped at some point.
Here we go. Yep.
Alright. So, Tim, what's in your system?
Well, and Joel, is there anything else you've been playing?
You know, pretty much that. And, Mario 64 and FIFA 2014 can go shove it because I'm sick of that
World
game.
Cup or
give
just regular?
The World Cup one.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot qualify with anyone. It's impossible.
Not even Bosnia Herzegovina.
Not even them. Damn. Not even England. Not Ivory Coast. Like,
or the Cote d'Ivory or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Cote d'Ivoire.
Cote d'Ivoire. There you go. Yeah, French.
Because you're playing against your actual opponent, and then the game's own brokenness on top of that, and it's just impossible.
Yeah, you have complained about the brokenness before.
It's not. No, if anyone on Earth says they've qualified with someone in that game on Legendary, they're liars. Because
right.
I can't do it.
Being called out by Joel here.
And show me
so
proof.
What do you mean by qualified? Are you trying to join a server or something?
No,
and just
no it's just out? Like the preliminary matches you have to play, and you have to like do well enough to make the World Cup.
To actually qualify in-game for the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's like
from your continent.
Yeah, countries do that. Like, you play within your area. Like, for us, it's like the Americas and Central America and stuff like that. So we play... the island nations in Latin America and like Mexico and stuff like that, and depending on how you do in your group, you can get a qualifying bid to the World Cup. So he has to do that in
not
game.
In this game though.
So, yeah,
doesn't matter how well you do.
Not even the actual World Cup players themselves playing FIFA could get it.
Oh wait,
it, so.
Back on the subject of Outlast, did you know when Outlast 2 is in production?
I did not know that.
Okay, cool.
Well, there you go.
More end of that topic.
More
end
bad. Of that topic. I know.
Double the.
I know. It's gonna thumping. Outlast 2 now with twice as much butt play. So there you go. So.
Oh, stop awesome. It.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have great dreams tonight, guys. Thank
yes, you
so
are.
Much.
You're welcome.
So anyway, I'll go ahead and finish off this fantastic topic. I've been playing, I've played a lot over the last month. I'm actually gonna post a blog about all the games I've played so everyone can be jealous. I think I've played about 22 games since our last podcast.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Not all of them in entirety, but life. Yeah, right? But yeah, I've been playing, I played... Viva Pinata. Not even kidding. It was free on Xbox, so I decided to play that. It's actually kind of cute and very challenging. It's like a 3D Pokemon style type game where you have to like collect all these pinatas and stuff. It's very bizarre. I just recommend you look it up because me describing it's going to make me sound like an insane person.
Viva Pinata as in like life or something, isn't it? Viva.
Yeah, Viva.
Life or something.
Yeah, like essentially. Yeah, it's like. It's Viva Pinata. It's based on... Well, it's not based on anything. It's basically, like, there's a Hispanic theme to the game because pinatas are traditionally seen as a Hispanic party thing. So, anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Only
so.
For Xbox?
I think... Maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure. It might be. So, but it was free for Xbox, so I played that. My buddy got a PS4 as well recently, so I've been playing NHL 15 with him. But it sucks... because EA decided to push out a new NHL game, and it's broken all to hell, where they didn't have a
what a shock.
EA with a broken product?
They
fuck
never.
Me.
They game test so well.
I hate EA so
is
much.
Is this on PlayStation 4?
Yeah, on
you're
the PS4.
It's broken?
Yeah.
Okay, because when I was playing the EA Within, I encountered a glitch, which really pissed me the F off.
I think that was more the game, though, wasn't it?
No, it couldn't have been the game, because, like, I was like, there's these two trophies. One's where you hit an enemy over the head with a bottle, and then another one where you stealth kill 5 enemies without being seen. So I got the hit the head over the bottle trophy first, mm-hmm. and then I went back to chapter 2 and stealthed like 8 enemies, and my trophy wouldn't pop up. And I looked up, and people said it's a glitch, and I was so pissed. A PS3, I don't think, had that glitch, but PS4 had the glitch. And then so I had to delete all of my save data on my PlayStation 4, play the game from start a new game, get to chapter 2, get trophy, which popped up fine the first time, and then reload all my stuff that I took off on USB and just put it back on so I could get the trophy.
Yeah, his problem, though, is with the game itself. It's not the system. Like,
whatever.
Yeah,
I'm really angry at PS4 trophies.
Oh, definitely. I can imagine, like, you earn that trophy, you gotta get that trophy, since I know you guys love your trophies, because you love trophies.
I freaking do. When one pops up, I do a little dance. So.
So, but anyway, his game, the NHL 15, was released. They had, like, when it first released, they had no real, like, traditional game modes, like GM mode or anything like that. They had to apply that as a patch later on. And me and my buddy play online on the same team against real people, over, well, it used to be Xbox Live, but now over PlayStation Network. But EA decided to take the whole ability to play with a guest on your team. So now we can't play couch co-op together on NHL.
Aw, that sucks.
So I'm hoping EA sees the light and changes that, because I guess what they were trying to do... I know they won't. Joel Shaken said, it's like, no, EA's just basically going to give you a big fuck you. And, yeah, thanks for buying our product.
Suckers.
You're stuck with it.
See you next year for another $60.
Yeah, right? Hey, by the way, we're going to shake you upside down and get your lunch money. But yeah, so basically they... I think the reason they did it is because they were planning on having, like, a mode where you could switch off the ability to find people with a guest. Some people didn't like playing against two people on the couch, and they didn't like playing with someone with a guest. I don't know why those people are idiots, but, hey, if they want to play a different way, that's fine. But they were going to come up with a filter, but they scrapped the idea of the filter because they couldn't get it to work. So instead of...
It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard.
Yeah, right, but then they just scrapped the whole, like, guest playing with the guest thing altogether because they said, well, we don't want to get angry mail because they're EA, because they never get angry mail. Fuck you, EA. I'm so mad.
They ignore it anyway.
Yeah.
Just
like,
ignore
so
harder.
So that's like my trophy story. That's why I'm mad. But I'm mad at EA, not Sony, so.
Hey, EA did Dead Space.
They did what?
Yeah, she said Dead Space, totally, but you see how Dead Space freaked out.
Well, no, I mean, like, EA does have some good stuff once in a while. Like, I love Mass Effect, but, like, a lot of their stuff just comes out broken or needs patches and stuff, you know? A lot of their sports games have glitches out the butt.
Or they'll buy up really good franchises and run them into the ground.
Exactly.
The Sims!
Yeah. Sims is definitely Sims, so...
Speaking of Mass Effect, I have, like, the trilogy sitting on my dresser, and I always look at it, and I should freaking play it.
Play it. You need to play it.
But I'm just so bogged down with work, and it makes me so upset. I'm just going to mumble to myself.
That's
okay,
like
keep going.
That's like the Breaking Bad of game series for me. It's the one that I always tell everyone, you need to play this. Like, I'm always like, you need to watch Breaking Bad. It's the best show ever. It's like, you need to play Mass Effect. It's so good. Like, it just
made
me agonize.
What, January? When we went to go see DC Douglas at that one con, and then we saw his Mass Effect panel, and then the next day we went out and bought the trilogy each.
Yeah,
so.
I highly recommend it. Joel, have you played Mass Effect?
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to get on that. Do you have an Xbox 360? Mm-hmm. Never mind. Okay. I was going to say you could borrow my trilogy, but... Oh, well. Okay, well, yeah, that's what's in my system. I've been playing some retro gaming and stuff, too, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, I know Joel's all about the retro.
All about
it. So we're going to go ahead. You know what? I'm just going to skip. We just kind of talked a lot about gaming, so I'm going to move right on to another topic down. As we talked earlier... you know, it's holiday season, you know, we haven't recorded in a while, we kind of missed October and Halloween, but as we all know, it is getting really close to a big holiday where you spend time with family and you're very grateful for all the stuff you have. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, I'm of course talking about Christmas, because no one gives a fuck about Thanksgiving,
right,
Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. As soon as November 1st hits, it's like, Christmas is everywhere, so I thought, let's talk about what's on our wish list for Christmas. So, I don't know. Joel, you got anything on your wish list?
I wish I could get the new Super Smash Brothers when it comes out. Oh, wait, I will, because I pre-ordered that shit.
Boom!
What?
Nice.
Boom.
Don't need you, Santa.
Easy now. He might be coming down
I cleared up that whole weekend, November 21st, when it drops.
Nice.
I don't need to sleep. I'll just bank sleep slowly.
There you go.
Starting now.
That's how it works. I've read.
I never get enough sleep.
Yeah.
So,
I took science classes in college.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then so I can just play, you know, 48 straight hours of new Super Smash.
Nice.
With the, gonna get the GameCube adapter, obviously.
That might actually set a world record, I think, if you play for 48 hours straight.
No, someone did a speed run of like the Grand Theft Auto.
But I'm saying for a fighting game.
Oh, for a fighting game?
It was set with Super Smash Bros. Melee or Brawl. Some writers, I think, at IGN said it, like, a few years back.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to break it that weekend.
Yeah,
then,
you should look it up.
Just going all
out. If that's a world record you could break, anyone, it would be that one, I think. So, what about the Amiibos? Any interest in the...
No.
No, you're not a big...
I don't see the point of that yet until... I want to hear, like, word of mouth from other people.
See how it works.
Because I saw them, like, display it in the Nintendo Direct, but I was like, that's kind of... I don't really see the point.
There was talk that Nintendo was planning initially to make them readily workable with third-party games outside of Nintendo's line of things, but I'm not sure if they're going to do that.
They never get third-party support for anything, though.
Yeah.
So I don't think...
Right, exactly, and that's
really
why I think they scrapped
the effort.
I think that'd be great, though.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool idea.
So
it's like real-life Pokemon.
I mean, you got
Bayonetta
wearing,
Mario
like, Peach outfits and stuff now. I mean, get a Bayonetta amiibo and, you know, get it going. So
it is, you know, Nintendo's a toy company kind of at heart still. So.
Right, and a Love Hotel company.
Yeah, that's still speaking of, about that new Love Hotel game.
Oh, sweet. Oh, man. Yeah, anything else you want to... Besides just Super Smash Bros.
Just smash.
All the way.
Smash.
Nice.
Smash the competition.
Nice. How about, Reem Lesso, what do you got on your Christmas wish list this year first? I mean, you already got the PS4, so, I mean...
Yeah,
already...
but I'll give you one guess on two games that are coming out that both start with the letter R.
You see, there's probably I don't know. Ridge Racer. Gotta be
Ridge Racer.
That's a good one. And what are Red Dead Redemption 2, probably? I don't know if that's coming out, but...
Randy Jackson Red Hot Baseball.
That's a thing.
That's a real game.
That was...
I didn't just make it up.
All right, now you're just getting crazy.
Resistance Sport.
I have Resident Evil Revelations 2 on my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably get it for PlayStation 3, seeing as it has co-op, and I'm not committing myself to PlayStation Plus for the PlayStation 4, and then the Resident Evil HD remake, which I'll probably order online from PlayAsia, because then I get a hard copy and not a digital copy, because only PS4 is getting the hard copy, which sucks. But at least a Japanese, website, I guess, it's called PlayAsia. They can import games from Japan with no region protection, so it will play on my American PlayStation 3, nice. Which is nice.
It's a good save.
And then I'll probably get Bloodborne for PlayStation 4, because that looked wicked, but it's co-op, which Lessa and I were like, that looks so effing awesome co-op, but again, I'll just play it single.
Was that Joel?
Is that right? It's an Ebola simulator?
Yes, Bloodborne is an Ebola simulator. Yeah. Oh, God.
Escape West Africa.
Oh, God. We're just moving from Asplay to West Africa? Come on,
I've just
man.
Saved up all these terrible off-color
Bloodborne,
jokes.
Bloodborne, I will say, looks really good because, it's from the same company that did, I think, Demon Souls and Dark Souls from Software. So it's supposed to be, if it's going to be in the hardcore, make me want to throw a controller through seven people's faces type of difficulty, that sounds like it'd be a pretty interesting and fun game to play, because I really enjoyed the Dark Souls, or was it Demon Souls? I can't remember which one I played, but I really enjoyed it, and I like what From Software has been doing recently, so I concur. I think that's a great one to have on a wish list.
Yeah, and then the last two on my list would probably be Until Dawn, definitely, because that one's PlayStation 4 exclusive, and now I have a PlayStation 4, so I can get that game, and if it's disappointing, I'll be like, F you, Until Dawn, I still like Evil Within. And then the one I want for PlayStation 3 is the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection with all of the Metal Gear Solid games, because I was at a friend's birthday party, weeks ago, and I was talking about Metal Gear Solid, and I know I have the first one, then they were talking about all the other ones and how, the different timelines are messed up with the different games, and I was like, which one should I play first? Or the one that's coming out, I think Phantom Pain, is the one coming out.
Well, that's Metal Gear Solid 5, I think Phantom Pain or something. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that one's coming out in a bit.
Yeah, they said that one is supposed to be the first one on the timeline or something like that, and I was like, you know what, I should just buy the
was the one first one on the timeline.
Snake Eater, currently Snake Eater is the earliest in the timeline, I think. So if you're looking at games that are currently out for Metal Gear Solid, I think Snake Eater, which is Metal Gear Solid 3, is the earliest that is currently available to play. So if you want to play right now, play Snake Eater first.
I have Snake Eater, which is funny. But okay, so, I have Snake Eater and I have the original Metal Gear
Solid or Metal Gear?
Okay, see, that's not fair. Would it just have Metal Gear written on the cover, or like a little small solid underneath?
Well, Metal Gear Solid was on the PS1. So if it's on on the PS1, it's Metal Gear Solid. If you have Metal Gear, was for the Nintendo.
Yeah,
it was the NES. I mean, Metal Gear has been around for a long time. It's an iconic series. It just didn't get the hype for a long time.
You don't have Metal Gear.
You probably don't.
No,
have
I have. I have the one on PlayStation 1.
That's MGS. Yep, that's a good one. That's a really good one. It's got some really creepy stuff in it.
I'm not gonna get into the timelines. I'm just confused.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I want the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection, so I can just pop one in, learn the storyline, and then just skip around to all the different games and play them all.
Nice.
That sounds like an awesome Christmas break.
I've been meaning to do that myself too for Metal Gear Solid and the Metal Gear franchise, so I'm with you there as well. I think you and I have some very similar tastes when it comes to the outlook on what we want to do with gaming in the next year. So, awesome. Lessa, what do you want for Christmas?
I mean, besides Reen probably listing off all the same ones on my list, besides Assassin's Creed Unity, but since I don't have a PS4 and we all have PlayStation Plus, we can't really play that. Because I wanted to be the sexy dressed blue guy, and you wanted to be the...
I was brown or green. I liked the...
We're already taking the characters we want to play, because they just look sexy. But anyway, so I guess the only one left on my Christmas list would have to be The Walking Dead Season 2, since I already beat the Telltale Season 1, so... Mm-hmm.
No, what about Tales of Xillia and, and then Murder's Full Suspect.
Well, I hope you remember those for my my Christmas presents, right?
Right. Okay.
So, wait, I'm curious to know why aren't you guys interested in being a part of the PlayStation Network, getting a PS Plus account? Why don't you want to do that, or membership? I should say.
Just seems like I have to spend $60 a year that I could put toward one more game on my list.
But you get free games with
the
PS
they're
Plus
only
account.
When you keep PlayStation Plus, otherwise they go poof.
True, but if you play them, then you've still basically gotten the value out of it I'm just making a case because I love PlayStation Plus compared to being, I have both an Xbox Live membership and a PS Plus membership. I find that the value, even though I get to keep the games on Xbox regardless, I still find the value with the PS Plus membership. I paid $60. I've already played, I think, 8 games through completion on my PlayStation over the past year of having it, and even though those games will disappear if I lose my membership, I've still played those games, so I still get the value out of them, right? I mean, I don't own them forever, so maybe I lose a bit of that over time, but I don't know, 8 games for $60, that's pretty good.
I guess I have not anger, but disappointment with Sony, because I guess...
We were
spoiled, yes, for PlayStation 3, co-op was free, and then all of a sudden they charge, you have to have PlayStation Plus. So I'm
okay.
So that's where most of our hate lies. I mean, we have nothing against the... Co-op was a big thing that got us our individual PS3, so...
Wait, what? You have to have a subscription to do co-op?
For PS4.
For PS4, what? You have to have a subscription.
Well, like, if they wanted to play each other, like, you can have a PlayStation Network account, like, anyone can have them, but I think what they're saying is, let's say she has Dead Space 3 in her room, and Raiden has it in her room, and they want to play each other, like, co-op there on their separate PS3 systems, they each have to have a Plus account, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's for PlayStation 4.
Online, same with Xbox. Like, I can't play my dad in Battlefield if I have a Xbox Live account, but he does not. We both have to have a Live account subscription, membership to play each other. It's the same as Xbox. That's why Sony had a good thing going for a while, because they didn't require that, but then they realized, hey, Microsoft's still getting a lot of people to do it and making money, so...
Sony probably would have had a better, I know Xbox users can switch their username for a price, but for Sony, they never, once you pick it, it's set in stone. Username, you can never transfer any of your save files to another PlayStation 3 unless it's not your account, that type of thing. Instead of, I think, putting a lockdown on, you can't play co-op unless you have a PlayStation Plus account, they should be like, if you have a PlayStation Plus account, you can switch your username, but every 60 days.
Yeah.
That might have caught me to buy a PlayStation Plus subscription, but other than that, I'm like, F you subscriptions, I don't need you. I am saving my 14 free days, so when Lessa gets her PlayStation 4, we can co-op online for 14 days free.
There you go.
Will take advantage of that.
Make sure it's summer vacation, then we have nothing to do, you don't have to worry about anything, and just sit in a dark room for 14 days straight.
Don't move.
So, but actually,
that sounds like a plan.
You know, I gotta say, I'm gonna deviate off topic here for a little bit and, you know, get you guys' opinions on this, because it brings up an interesting point that, I think is very prevalent now in gaming, that is kind of changing the whole landscape and has been for the last decade, and that is this huge focus, obviously, on online gaming, online co-op, and taking away the ability to do couch co-op with a lot of games, you know?
Using network co-op instead of local?
Correct. And I think it goes back to what I said earlier about my buddy and I playing NHL online. I can't even play with him on the couch I can play on a network one-on-one with someone, but I can't pick the controller and play on his team anymore. And maybe that'll be fixed in the future. But there's a lot of games out there where, for instance, Battlefield, when I play with my dad, I can't go over to his place and pick up a controller and we can play side-by-side online. In the same map, I have to play across another system, you know, whereas this
can't even play offline on the same system usually.
Right, yeah. Games. It's a pain. It's but
yeah, I think it started becoming more popular for network co-op instead of local co-op in 2012. Because I know there were a couple games that Lessa and I were really interested in, and then we ended up pre-ordering one, buying it, and then we found out that it was only network co-op and not local, and we were like, are you effing kidding me? So we had to go back to GameStop, put another order in, get another special edition, because it was one of those games, and then
I think it started with Operation Raccoon City, didn't it? Because we had to
share 2012.
That's
what my timeline to realize that network co-op and local co-op were totally different.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's changed so much since, I mean, obviously the N64 was amazing for couch co-op because you had 4 ports in the system, you had, you know, split screen 4 ways, GoldenEye, that whole thing was amazing. And then you get into the PS2 days, You know, you still had things like Time Splitters and other games where you could still have that four-person split screen. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the games nowadays have huge, they take up a lot of memory, a lot of space. They have huge, requirements for graphics and everything to be run. But there's got to be a way, I think, that you can still do split screen or something with a buddy on the couch. I mean, I still play Borderlands 2 with my fiance from time to time, you know, and it's not like TVs have gotten any fucking smaller. They've gotten huge. Yeah. You've got like 80-inch TVs. You're telling me you can't, you know, fit four players on an 80-inch TV these days? I mean, I got a 55-inch and I can still, you know, we can still play four people on that. I used to play on a 20-inch, play GoldenEye with people right up next to the goddamn TV. Like, it just, it bugs me.
Oh, I saw your pixel.
Yeah, right?
I'm gonna get you.
So, it's like, come on, man. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being very old and get off my lawn about this, but I don't know.
Well, if you are, then so am I.
Well, yeah.
Because I'm annoyed by two.
Same age.
Like, everyone but Nintendo is going to online only for multiplayer, mm-hmm. and it's annoying.
It is.
And that's why Nintendo's the best.
There you go. So, but I mean, it kind of, back to my buddy in the NHL, he asked me, he's like, Tim, what would you recommend for a next-gen system? I was like, well, what do you want to do? I know you play sports games a lot, but what else? He's like, well, I'd like to do, like, have some people over and play, you know, multiplayer and maybe play, you know, online multiplayer with some of my friends over. I'm like, well, first of all, that's probably not going to be possible. I said, it's 2014.
One or the other.
It's 2014. You can't do it. And he goes, really? I was like, yeah. So I tried to look up games that could do it. I couldn't find a single one outside of indie games that you could buy, like download on the arcade or whatever that people come out with, like Castle Crashers and stuff like that, possibly. But, you know, he's like, well, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll just kind of look at, you know, what the best graphics are or whatever. And I was like, that's shitty when, like, your options are, like, what has... Like, I told him, too. I said, you know what would be your best option for that? The Wii U.
He
goes, well, they don't have NHL. I was like, well, sorry.
Yeah, it's got to be one or the other.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my mini rant, but if I'm on alone on this hilltop, let me know and I'll shut up. But I just feel like I kind of wish things were like 1997, 1998 again, and you could have some friends over and crack some beers. Not that I was doing that at, you know, the age of 11,
just
but
like the good old days.
Yeah, right. Just drinking Mountain Dew till you burst. So.
Oh God, Mountain Dew.
So, but yeah, it's my mini rant. I feel like it's a pain in the ass, and now it's like, given another 10 years, my kids will never be able to like play a video game with me on the couch on any new system. I'll have to dust off the old N64 and show them how it's done on GoldenEye, so, which I have. But anyway, that's my thing. I think I'm the only one that has to tell the Christmas list now. That
yeah,
I've,
what do you want for Christmas?
Sorry, soapbox. Yeah. I want a new soapbox to stand on and have rants. I don't know, man. I definitely want to. I want to renew my subscriptions for PS Plus and Xbox Live. But I think I want to get a next gen system. I'm just not sure whether it's going to be a Wii U, and a PS4, or an Xbox One. I'm just not sure yet. I don't know if the Xbox One or the PS4 are something I really feel like I need to invest in right now, because I still have tons of games to play on, you know, the 360 and the PS3. But the Wii U looks amazing with all the awesome games that have come out recently, Super Smash Bros., you know, even Hyrule Warriors. There's supposed to be a new Legend of Zelda game coming out in the near future,
yeah,
which I love.
You know, there's actually word about PlayStation 5 in the works.
See, that's just too soon. Too soon, man.
I know.
I mean,
I'm like,
that's like skipping Thanksgiving to get to Christmas.
Right? Like, PlayStation 4, I thought, just came out at E3 this year, wasn't it? Because I know the big rant about PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, guys, we
came
are
out
now
a year ago.
Did it? Seriously?
PS4? I think so.
I lost time.
Well, the PS4 came out a year ago, basically,
yeah,
almost to the day.
Right.
It's been out for
okay.
almost a year, which almost seems crazy. It seems like it just came out, but it's been out since last...
Yeah.
They both came out last November.
PS4 and Xbox. Timeline starts when she got the Evil Within.
Okay.
So that's
October 14th.
Yeah, so that's when she got her PS4, and that's... Yeah, okay, anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Wii U is still kind of running on the top, mostly because I love the virtual console. You can go and get games like one of my favorites, Super Mario RPG, which I would love to play, which I think you can buy on
the, I think it's
I know
there.
You can for the regular Wii.
I'm fairly certain it's there.
Also Earthbound, which I do own a hard copy of Earthbound. It's like the jewel of
sick.
My collection. I love it. Paid a pretty penny for it, but I love it. And But yeah, I just would love to have something that might last forever, because I've had to clean that cart a couple of times already, and I'm not sure if it's going to last forever. I mean, the save files always crap out. But yeah, I don't know. I think just a next-gen console and maybe a headset for the PS3, because I'd like to talk to people, like maybe if we're playing Dead Space 3.
Yes! Yes! Just saying, instead of hooking it up to Skype.
Yeah, well, we could still talk over Skype. That still works, so. But yeah.
It does.
But,
yeah, that's... I felt so left out that you two got to play Dead Space here, and I was just sitting there like, I'm going to go buy pizza, I guess.
That was actually pretty cool. I was like, hey, what are you getting on your pizza? Hey, what are you getting? And then you're like, I forgot you're a vegetarian, and I was like,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, they're vegetarian, so.
Don't like pineapple?
No, well, I like pineapples, not on pizzas. Not on pizzas.
Oh, whatever.
That was the best guy.
I like eating raisins, but keep them out of my fucking cookies, okay? Yeah, that's just my thing. It's just my offensive.
What about your ketchup with your french fries, Sam? You're going to complain about that, too?
I love ketchup and french fries, but I love barbecue sauce and french fries even more. Even better than that, Wendy's Frosties with french fries.
Oh, my God. I like honey mustard on my fries.
No!
That's okay. I'm not. I think Joel is just a strict ketchup man.
I've had ranch.
Ranch is
really
okay,
though.
Good. Yeah,
I had ranch by accident one time.
What about honey mustard?
Accident?
It's like four fries in. This isn't ketchup.
I've actually never done the honey mustard route, but it sounds delicious.
How do you not know?
It's just, you know, and when you're eating so fast.
I only
fast,
see in grayscale.
Yeah, I don't taste in grayscale.
Well, if you want to go grayscale, ketchup is a darker value, while ranch is closer to white.
Oh.
So therefore,
I
see inverted grayscale.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to...
Anyway.
Because we're just going to get too much... We're going to jump down the ketchup grayscale rabbit hole, and we're never going to come back.
That old overdone topic.
I know, right? Just beat that horse to death. So, as I said earlier, we'll get to the next couple of topics here. I've been doing some retro gaming lately. Joel, obviously, retro gaming a lot. So I thought, I saw a story about one of my favorite old school games, Toe Jam and Earl, for the Sega Genesis. Great game, great couch co-op game. And I thought, you know, they said, well, does it hold up over time? And I was like, hell yeah, it does. It's like an amazing game. But, you know, that's just my personal opinion. I thought, what are some of our favorite games we played as a kid? And it could, you know, be a kid, whatever, you know, up to your 20s, I don't care, but a game you played growing up that, you know, now in the 2010s, does that game hold up? Have you gone back and played it or looked at it and been like, yeah, that still looks like it's fun, or, oh God, that, how did I think that was a good game back when I was 9, 10, 11 years old? So I'm going to defer to our retro gaming specialist, Joel.
Yeah, let me just start about Toe Jam and Earl. That game is always... perplex me even now. I remember watching like my neighborhood friends play it when I was like 5 on their Sega.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sega was like a huge deal if someone had one. And I did not understand what was going on. It was like a weird like isometric view, like mm-hmm. these little guys like hopping around.
It was
these
bizarre.
Islands.
The isometric view was
like,
a bit
what
strange.
What the hell is this? And I still like I've watched people play it somewhat recently and I still don't really know what's going on.
It's a great game. It's
I should
really
try
fun.
Playing it.
It yeah. Two players, yeah. I don't have it unfortunately, but if I ever find a copy, you and I should get together and do it. You're basically two aliens who crash land on Earth, which is those floating islands in space is Earth. I know it's weird.
Yeah. But
you crash land on Earth and you try and collect pieces of your spaceship to escape, and the whole while you're trying to escape crazy human beings that have weird powers for some reason. It doesn't make any sense, Joel. Don't try and make sense of it. It's just,
it makes right. perfect sense. It sounds like one of my dreams after I like drank too much and I fell asleep on the couch.
I know.
Those always make sense.
It's like MC yeah. Escher had sex with a Dali and it's like that's what the game is. So
I see.
Yeah. I may have alienated people that don't know art. I don't
existentially
know.
Existentially terrifying.
There yeah. you go.
So. But speaking of Sega, Sonic 2, what a game. I know I talk about Nintendo all the time to an obnoxious degree probably, but Sonic 2 I played as a kid a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Another neighbor had that. I'd go, like, I just wanted to play. I felt bad because I'd just go over and like, can we play Sonic 2? Like,
I need it.
I need it. And yeah, that game is still so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend and I tried to do this drinking game with it where we did like a half shot each time we beat a Robotnik boss.
Yeah.
Which was a horrible idea.
Horrible idea.
Well, it was funny. Like, if someone else was watching us, it'd probably be funny, but like for us, it was bad.
It's like watching a train bodies. Wreck filled with alcohol.
Yeah, so. Yeah, our livers did not thank us afterwards. Say that, but That holds up. Obviously, so many Nintendo, Mario games, N64, most games on the N64 that seemed good actually are still good now.
Anything that you don't think holds up well at all?
Nope, it's a perfect console.
There you go. N64,
case closed.
Perfect console.
Now I'm trying to think, but go to Reading Lesson. I'll think of all something. Right. Maybe.
What about some old school games you played that you think would that hold up pretty well today?
That hold up pretty well today?
Yeah, or ones that you've played and are like, oh man, what was I on
when
I was playing those?
I know Joel mentioned Mario, and I think those games back in like the 1990s were amazingly awesome. Like how you're saying, like the couch games where you can play like multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lesa and I had a lot of fun, like either passing the controller back and forth, playing as Mario and Luigi, and like All Star Super Mario is on the Super Nintendo. But like nowadays, the Mario games coming out for like the Wii and stuff, it just seems like. Like Mario Party, it's just like a huge party thing, and the controls are like different. I kind of miss the old,
I guess. Miss the Super Nintendo, right? It's okay.
I do. I miss the Super Nintendo, but no, like I think a game that didn't progress very well, I think, would be Spyro.
Ah.
Like I think 1 and 2 and maybe 3 was okay, and then it got to PlayStation 2, and the transition was not very good.
Gotcha.
I think they switched a whole bunch of, different controls, I guess they put.
Well, I think what mostly got me and you was that they gave Sparks a voice.
God damn it.
Instead of him going.
He's like, hey, Spyro, come over here. It's like, Sparks, STFU, and get off screen.
Did you imagine if he gave Navi a voice?
Oh, man, I was just thinking.
Hey, hey. Oh, they already did, but yeah. Ugh. That makes sense, yeah. No, I could see the Spyro and Crash games too, because like, I remember playing those, but. Watching video, I'm just like, man, this is... I mean, I know it was a height of platforming back then, but I'm like, that does not look enticing at all to play for some reason anymore. But, to each their own. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. I think I just kind of started, you know, thinking about this because I've been playing Super Smash Bros. On the N64. Holds up great because I still think the small roster is amazing. It is limiting at times, but I just think it's
so solid.
It is.
Like, every character is so well balanced and has like a unique touch to them.
Let me look at you. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. No, you're not. Okay. Good.
No, I'm really not.
Okay, I was just like, it's hard with Joel because see, when I talk about Super Smash Bros, I feel like I'm being judged by Joel because he obviously is like way better at Super Smash Bros than anyone I know. Like, and it's just like I kind of wonder if I talk about
the first Smash Bros is one of the best games.
I feel like
time.
He's giving me the whole like Jennifer Lawrence like yeah okay GIF over there like come on. So anyway, I've been playing that. You know, I played, also my fiance was playing Banjo-Tooie the other night. And that was one game I looked at and I was like, oh my god, this looks awful. The graphics didn't look that great, and it was that blocky style that N64 had for a lot of games. But for some reason, Banjo-Tooie I imagined being a lot nicer and crisper and like, I don't know, it just didn't look
even
that
Mario
great.
64 looks crisper, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. Banjo-Tooie came out in 2000, a few years after, or, like, into the cycle, and I was like, they should have improved upon the Super Mario 64 modeling that they had, and they really didn't. So, but that was Rare's thing. I mean, it took until, like, Conker's Bad Fur Day for them to get better, and it still wasn't even, like, that phenomenal. It was a great story and, like, great fun and everything, but Banjo-Tooie, I just thought, the voices, too, they were like,
Yeah,
it's like, they don't...
Wait, what were they like,
Jeff? I'm not gonna... like that, I don't know. I mean, I'm making an ass of myself, but that's how it fucking sounds. It's terrible. Like, I was sitting there listening to it last night, and I was like, oh my god, how in the hell did 14-year-old me get through that game, listening to that crap? I must have sped through the cutscenes so fast, so... But yeah, that just got me thinking about it. I was like, that one didn't hold up well. And some of the old, one of the games we played, Amplitude, I thought was just kind of dated.
Yes.
Given some of the newer music.
Now you have Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Well, yeah.
But being confined to the actual...
Controller.
PS2 controller, I think it's pretty cool still. I enjoy it.
At the time, it was probably... it was the only thing out there like that, I'm sure. I mean, you had things like Parappa, the rapper that had, like, you do button-hitting sequences, but it was different because you had to, like...
Sliding around, you can, like, knock someone off the track.
Right.
It's more, like...
There's more strategy.
Competitive.
Exactly. So, no, I just think that Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, maybe even Donkey Kong 64, games like that, you know, probably wouldn't hold up as well. You can't say anything about Mario 64 because that game today,
it's perfect.
When I got it home, my parents sat and watched me play it for 3 hours. That's how revolutionary and amazing it was.
I think, like, everyone's parents were even mesmerized by that.
Well, because my parents, my dad is a huge Donkey Kong fan, like, the arcade game, like, Jumpman Donkey Kong, and he used to play that all the time. He would blow his quarters over at the arcade playing that all the time.
I like
his
style.
Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, you know. So my parents grew up playing video games in the arcades, so when they see this, they're like, it was huge. 3D, you can control the camera. They were like, this is Mario? Like, they were amazed. And they did the same thing for Star Fox when I got that game. So, you know, it was always good. I was like, this is, you can't say anything bad about Mario 64 when your parents sit there for 3 hours and watch you play it.
Yeah.
So, when you're 11. But, yeah, so, all right.
Can I say something blasphemous?
Yeah,
GoldenEye has not aged well.
I'm sorry to say that I agree with you.
Oh, really? Okay.
It does not age well from a graphical perspective. The graphics are not that great. I still think the gameplay is solid in multiplayer.
I think the multiplayer is fun.
Yes.
But after you've played Perfect Dark for a while, if you go back and play GoldenEye, you're like, this is so clunky.
You and I are going to be at odds here, because I think that Perfect Dark, people are like, it's a better GoldenEye when it came out.
It really didn't.
I think that it was just a clone. It was a strict clone. I just didn't see, when I played Perfect Dark and GoldenEye back-to-back, I was like, I'm playing GoldenEye.
They improved so much stuff in the multiplayer, though. You can add the simulants, the damage, when you shoot someone, it actually, like, registers it in real time. In GoldenEye, you have, like, that, like, blowback for, like, a half second, and you can't take any more damage in that moment, which is kind of interesting, because you have to adjust your strategy for that.
Right. It was arcadey, and
it's just different. Yeah, some people could say it's different, but I like in Perfect Dark how it actually registers, like, real time.
I do have a heavy nostalgia factor, though, so that is obviously buffering my agreement with you on that, so take it for what it's worth. There's a grain of salt, in my opinion, with GoldenEye. It is one of my all-time favorite games. That's why I
actually went out
to get a crisp, new-looking version. So,
and it's way more fun to watch people speedrun that. Being a big speedrun fanatic, it's more interesting than Perfect Dark because there's more stuff that you can like take advantage of within the single player. And just the single player is better than Perfect Dark overall because, I mean, you get to be James Bond.
Yeah.
And GoldenEye was a sweet movie. So.
Indeed. All right, I think we're going to move on to our last topic here. We're getting on in time, so let's go ahead and talk about it. I saw something interesting. This is about a month ago when we were planning a next podcast and we couldn't get it done. But Ireland came out with video game stamps, basically.
Nice.
And Reen Lester, did you see this story at all?
No.
Okay, it was on Twitter a bunch, so I thought maybe you would have seen it, but
No, I wasn't on Twitter.
You know how much I tweet him.
Well, you know, I thought maybe you were just, you know, what's the word? You weren't, you know, you were just lurking maybe on Twitter, I don't know. But anyway, so I saw this thing where Ireland released these new stamps that had video game icons on them. And I thought they only had 4 stamps. I'm like, well, you should have like a full like book of stamps that you could have with video game icons. So it got me thinking, you know, I'm sure is there a video game Hall of Fame? There should be if there isn't.
Not that I know of.
Okay, well, you and I can get on that. But anyway.
Yeah, we're starting a Kickstarter
for that. But anyway, so I thought gaming Hall of Fame, like who would be on my stamp? And I just was like, you know, who would you pick? Let's say you had 5 votes to get a character into a gaming Hall of Fame. Who would you give your 5 votes to? Okay, now I will give you some of mine to start, so give you guys some time to think about, because I know this is, you know, spur of the moment, but I will go. I think if you do not have Mario on your list, get the fuck out.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm sorry. And it's okay if
you
all have Mario,
harm,
which is fine. You can just give me 4 after this, because Mario on it, okay? I will also go ahead and put Sonic, just because growing up, I was a Sonic kid. I started playing video games with the Sega Genesis, and I got Sonic the Hedgehog and started playing that. I hadn't played a Mario game before I played Sonic. That's what I knew, and it was great. I think he's an icon of gaming. So I would pick Sonic and Mario, obviously. As much as I hate to say it, as much as I hate this game, I have to say that Master Chief would have to be in there, just because of how he has revolutionized gaming in the 21st century with the multiplayer, and as much as I just knocked it a little while ago, it has taken gaming from just a one-on-one experience in your living room to a worldwide phenomenon, and a lot of that was because of the multiplayer in Halo, and Master Chief was the center point of all of that. He was the focal point of that game, and you know, that was, it was a big moment in gaming when that came out. So you know, and I think I'll give you a fourth one, and then I'll think about my fifth. I would probably put in a vote for Solid Snake, just because, you know, he's kind of one of those iconic figures as well. Very adult-themed games, a lot of espionage and strategy involved with that. Just, you know, you put a picture of Solid Snake up there, most gamers are going to know who it is, even if they've never played the video game. So he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. So I'll give you my final one in a bit. Who wants to go next? Who's got a list of Hall of Fame votes?
I have three, and then I'll think of my other two.
All right.
But I'd probably have to say one vote would go to Godzilla, just because I'm a huge Godzilla fan, and I know, like, if you show a picture of Godzilla, like, you're
no,
saying...
No, that was a movie first. That's a licensed character.
No, I thought it was a game. Like, it's on Super Nintendo. Super Godzilla.
Well, Godzilla's been around...
Then I put James Bond.
Yeah, I was going to say, Green, I might have to have you think about this one, because Godzilla was around when my dad was watching them fight in rubber suits. So, it's been around for a while. He is in video games, but he was, as Joel said, a licensed character.
I mean, if we're counting licensed characters, then...
Sure, we can count licensed characters, but we'll put Godzilla down. We'll put him down, so we got Godzilla. Go ahead.
Link, because Link is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He just gets sexier every time they bring out a new game.
He does. Hit those tights. Woo!
Okay.
But, and his little tunic. I love his tunic. But, and then I would probably, like, just to be different, I would say Luigi, because I know you two have a burning passion.
Oh, Joel's gone. Joel just left. Son of a bitch, we lost Joel. Joel, come back. Joel, come on. He's leaving. Joel, don't you walk out that door.
I'll do it for you. Come back to me.
Joel, you get out of your car. Joel, do not get on the expressway. You took our hearts and you ripped them right the fuck out. Okay, so Luigi. All right, whatever.
All right, and
I think you should stop while you're ahead.
I think I should too. Let's let Lessa go.
Go ahead.
And
Lessa.
Then we'll get Joel back.
Okay, for me, but besides you, Rain, you took Link, obviously.
I have a fourth one. It would be Solid Snake, like what Tim said.
Okay.
Okay, then I guess I would vote for him, too. But then I would also pick Pyramid Head from Silent Hill. And then I would also
choose
Wesker from Resident Evil.
Oh, see, I was going to do that. You chose
him. Because his buff muscles over the course of the years, it just shows he works out.
Wow. Pyramid Head. A murderous, speaking of weird sexual
things.
We'll
do top five
games.
Character butt muscles.
I know.
next episode.
Oh, they're
the
all
Nemesis
Resident Evil and Silent Hill players, so.
The Nemesis.
Oh my god. So let's see. Reen, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 5 votes in, okay.
I'll put Wesker in for
yep,
5,
that's what I got you. Lessa, you got 1. You only got 2 in there. Oh no, you got 3. You got Wesker and Pyramid Head, and then Solid Snake. So, how about, we'll
Chris,
give you...
I was to say Chris Redfield.
Oh, okay. Alright. Shocker.
And then...
No one's saying, like, Tekken characters or, like, Street Fighter.
Not
what about Ryu? Come
not
on.
A fire
oh, yeah, Ryu.
Fan, though.
Ryu,
I would say, so.
Ryu's got rippling pectorals. Come on. That chest? I know that chest anywhere.
this is turning into a fangirl hour.
Sorry.
Let's see. What about Joel? What about you?
Luigi.
After I collect my Luigi.
Oh,
for
God.
All 5. definitely Mario, Sonic, Link. Those 3 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Next would probably have to be the L block from Tetris.
Okay.
Who can forget the first time we saw that character?
Well, there's 2 L blocks too, which is amazing.
There's regular and reverse.
Gotcha.
Reverse clearly represents, you know, the duality of man.
And you want
the
reverse one to be your vote?
The straight L block.
The straight
of course represents the goodness and purity that exists in all mankind.
Got it. Okay.
And my 5th vote would have to go with. Let me think. I don't want to say Donkey Kong.
It's a good one.
Just can't think of anyone else. So
well, I mean, without Donkey Kong, I mean, a lot of people say without Bowser there wouldn't be Mario, but without Donkey Kong there wouldn't be Mario.
Right.
So, or Jumpman, whatever.
He created Mario.
Yeah, exactly. So, you made me.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually going to give you my fifth vote here, and then we can let Lessa finish up with her fifth vote. I'm going to go back a little bit more. This is a character that has been around for a really long time, very near and dear to my heart, because it's been in my family for generations. We've all played this game and love it to death. Pac-Man. Pac-Man has to be in the Hall of Fame. Waka Waka King, you know, eating everything in sight, which I love because he doesn't gain a pound and he eats all of that stuff.
What a metabolism.
Seriously, I mean, so Pac-Man definitely, it was a tough choice because I was kind of waffling between Pac-Man and Mega Man. I like my mans.
Mega Man.
He's so good in the new Smash. That would be my fifth.
Oh, man. Okay, Mega Man. And I mean, it's so hard to not pick. I mean, it's tough because there's so many icons out there.
In less than 2 weeks, you can fight Pac-Man against Mega Man.
Oh my
the
god.
The future's cool sometimes.
Dude, that's amazing. Or the past is cool in the future.
Yeah.
So awesome. All right, well, I'm actually going to post this on Twitter at some point, give everyone our gaming Hall of Fame. I'm going to have to find a way to fit this in not too many characters, especially L Block of Tetris, the straight one, not the reverse one that features the duality of man.
Why yes. don't?
If you don't include all of it, I'm going to be offended.
You can open a Word document and then screen cap it and then post the picture.
Ah, yes, I could do that.
Whoa.
And then just tag the main one.
There you go. Or I could just like basically do like take Google images of all these characters in a Word document and
nice.
Do that. I think
like
I like
Tim's
that.
Ballot.
I'll have
five
to pick
pictures.
A really nice PG-13 one of Pyramid Head. And I don't really want to Google Chris Redfield and Wesker together because I've seen the images that come up, and I think 90% of them are from Reed and Lessa's DeviantArt. So.
No, you give me too much credit. There's someone I watch on DeviantArt who does way better fan art, and I'm so jelly of their skills is.
Nice. All right, well, cool. I think we got a good Hall of Fame, and you know, honestly, I think we're getting close to time, so I think that should wrap it up for us. So. As always, I want to thank anyone for listening. Thank you for still listening, even after our very long hiatus. You know, it's been busy time. We're really hoping to kind of get you guys some stuff out here more regular in the future. So thank you again for listening. You can definitely follow us on Twitter. We are at @ASG_podcast. You can check us out there. Follow us to see when our new podcasts come out. Just hit us up with questions. Hell, if you want to talk about something on the podcast, feel free to shoot us either a DM or a tweet. We're more than happy to talk to fans and anyone listening. Thank you again, obviously, to my co-host Joel, Reed, and Lessa for coming back and sticking with it because I missed you guys. This has been a lot of fun. I really love doing this with you. So, you know, I guess we're just going to sign off now like always. So thank you everyone for listening. And as always, gamers around the world, game on. This has been All Systems Go.
Intro music provided by Wonderflux and outro provided by Labyrinth. You can find more information about All Systems Go at asgpodcast.podomatic.com or follow us on Twitter at @ASG_podcast.